there anything to say or ask from yesterday? Is there anything to say or ask from yesterday? Or from any time, but... If there's anything continuing from yesterday, that's...
If there's what?
If there's anything at all, and if there's anything continuing from yesterday, especially. So now or any time during the talk.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit vague actually on understanding that the dove and the snake, but even though you said it a few times. So.
Okay.
I don't know if it's kind of like just some duality thing you're talking about.
Well, in one way it's paradoxical, but in another way it's just, it's like if in a government you have the balance of powers, like in a definition of something that's not one or the other, we have these two poles so that we don't gravitate to one or the other. So it's I wouldn't say it's exactly necessarily a paradox, but it is, when we talk about dove and snake, we are talking about a way that doesn't fit our normal categories. So when we think of, what I notice is when people think of gentleness, and on the deep rest retreats, they start to realize the importance of gentleness and the power of gentleness. It still tends to have a kind of poster gentleness quality in their mind. Like, oh, gentleness, lying back with an eye pillow. Like the eye pillow might be their image of gentleness. And it might be that for some people, realizing that they could meditate lying down with an eye pillow is an important revelation. But I was surprised when I heard someone describe, yes, eye pillow as the image of gentleness, because to me it's the practice of gentleness, for example, allows an honesty that's like searing, like it's a ruthless honesty, and it's only because there's the atmosphere of gentleness that something could come to light kind of safely, willingly, and be exposed to be seen as it is, and therefore come out of existence. Like, that something could willingly walk into it. Some knot, like K-N-O-T, some tangle, because of an attraction towards an atmosphere of gentleness inside, could come to light, and in that coming to light, cease to be a tangle, cease to be an kind of entity or facet of our personality or whatever. So that's another way of seeing dove and snake at the same, like the gentleness and the ruthlessness at the same time. That's one more example.
Okay. Yeah, so they're actually together.
It's not two things really, and it's not even paradoxical in the experiential reality. It's not actually a paradox. It's just a description of...
So they've actually got it's not the right word maybe, but they actually sort of work together then.
Yeah. And then the snake, our poster of snake would be kind of like, I deserve such and such a thing. I deserve to, I'm worth it, kind of. That's it, more like a typical modern language that it sometimes is a revelation to come to, like, oh, this is my life, and it's actually worthwhile to invest in my own life, to nourish myself. But then the poster, I'm worth it, is very flat, very two-dimensional. So if I, when I try to think of why someone would use snake as an image and shrewd as snakes, as an, as a description of how we should be, how to be on the great way, how to be the great way. Shrewd as snakes and gentle as a dove or doves. Mm. Also, there's the way, like, if we continue on from that where there's gentleness, so everything comes to light, like willingly comes to light, it also means I'm not pretending to be good or gentle or nice. I am this whole thing. So I think of maybe snakes, they're probably snakes that hunt at night. So I think of like the day and the night self, or the day and the night aspects of us, and that we need both of those to be present together, and for those things not to be two things, but for that, as if like the dove presentation during the day and the snake that comes out no matter what at night, that we need both of those to be together. And if we know from the beginning that both of those are needed, that they belong, that there is a place for shrewdness and gentleness, and that it's not two things, then we don't have the problems of cutting off from the night part and then the night part coming to get us or take over and overpower us in order for it to have a flow for the energy. But it's already that so-called dark energy included from the beginning, then, let's say, empowers the willingness to say what's given to say in the moment, was, you know, in the Jesus story is what he told them, don't worry about what you're going to say, it'll be given to you at the time. So that was one of his examples of snake dove, is don't be anxious, don't be afraid. You are going as a sheep among wolves. Yes. You are going, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. Yeah, that's true. Know it. Know it, yeah. But don't be a wolf, be a snake and a dove. So including the night self from the beginning. It reminds me of a story that I've told also a few times that I think is a beautiful, it's a true story about people that applies to our interior. And it was in a school, there was a child who was difficult and aggressive to everyone. And people were feeling more and more hurt by him. And the normal thing would be kick the child out of school or whatever, make the child stay after school and do such and such a thing. And there was one teacher or leader in the school who said, okay, let's do something. So that might be the snake. We're going to act. We won't just try to be nice and take it and take it and take it. We'll act. But what will be the act? And she said, okay, we're going to all be together, everyone in the school in the same place. And we'll ask this boy also to be there and speak to us. And so people were probably like, oh good, now he's going to be humiliated. He'll have to say he's sorry or whatever. And my pain will be kind of honored or whatever. I'll get something out of this kind of. And instead she said, what's going to happen is he's going to be there and we're going to say to him, you belong. Every single person would say to that boy, you belong. And so they did that. Instead of him saying, I don't belong, and your pain makes you belong or whatever, your victimhood is your ticket or something. No, you belong. And it did make a change in his behavior also. And it probably made a change in the other kids, I guess, and the teachers. And so that part of us that was never told that it belongs because it was always kind of off or out or bad or whatever, or that we're afraid that it would be. So if we from the beginning say you belong, and every part of us says you belong, then what comes next is unknown. Like that's the where we don't know where we're going, but we know we're on the great way We have that feeling that comes. We're settled and wide and responsive, and there's the stillness. There's the wonder that allows the stillness, the presence, and the third one that I keep forgetting.
Clarity.
Clarity, yeah. Because the snake is the one like that got cursed for being so bad in our psyche. Also about the snake, what I like is the not having hands. And not... So we can't be like, oh, we could do this or we could do that. There's no like A or B, what shall I do? It's not a decision-making process. It's just, And it's not even like, It's, Like, it's a snaky, And there's that difference. Sometimes all we can do is find the intuition that's deciding between, should I go left or right? Should I put more almonds or less almonds? Should I this or that? Sometimes that's the best we can do, and it's better than just doing the habitual or whatever, or what we think people want, or all that level. But sometimes we could wait and no longer be expecting a decision-making process, but sometimes we could wait in a way that lets something come through in a snaky way. So that it just simply means like sometimes I don't know and I let something unexpected happen. Even if it looks normal, it ends up being that the response looks normal. But I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know if I would give a normal answer or if I would be silent or if I would... But then something happens, and it might look normal, it might look abnormal. It usually feels more out there and on the edge than it looks from the outside. Like we usually feel more like they're going to kick me out for this, you know, than it actually feels, usually. And then the snake could kind of get in anywhere, too. Deep, high, up, down, etc. And then the dove, like once we start to feel like, okay, snake, right, got it, snake. Then we can go back to the dove and be like, what we thought was the easy, gentle, sweet, soft, fluffy, can fly, you know, like light, sleeps at night, is awake in the day, kind of. All right, but if we go back to dove after visiting snake, it's more of a challenge, I think, than ever, the dove part. To feel, to be that smooth and that exposed, to be that soft and edible and fluffy, knowing that you might be... You might be someone, you might get hurt, you might be someone's food, but you don't grow scales and spikes and you stay soft. Because your inner being expresses as that softness and something between your deepest being and what expresses from you, some maybe the personality or something needs that softness. So there's a poem by Kabir here. Anajane ko swarg narak hai. Anajane is like those who don't know, or the not knowing, ignorant, or let's say the state of ignoring, where there's a subtle turning away from what is real and in our experience. So where we feel that raw, exposed, sensitive, smooth, dovey and snaky, and then that maybe habitual and maybe also as well deeper than habitual turning away from that place or that way of living is ignoring ignorance. So to that state of ignoring, or for that state of ignoring, to that state of ignoring, heaven and hell are. Svarga naraka hai. Which I just find echoes nicely with the talk about heaven and earth, which is not heaven and hell, but how heaven and earth are infinitely separate when heaven and hell are our experience, when the ups and the downs are the most important thing. When my attachment to my preferences or opinions or talking and thinking if my life rides on my opinions, then there's the ups and downs, there's heaven and hell. So I think there's heaven and hell when heaven and earth are miles apart, by not being in our place, by ignoring our place, our human place, by letting that turning away from the vastness, the preciousness, the simplicity, the freshness. So anadane ko swarg narak hai, hari jane ko nahi. Hari jane ko, those who know hari, or the time that we know that vastness, openness, freshness, which for him is, then he's giving the name of a god, or a name of God. That heaven and hell doesn't land or apply or take over so much when we stay in the intimacy with the openness, vastness, freshness. Johi dar ko sab log darat hai, so dar hamare nahi. This is interesting how she's translated. So she's saying the fearful thing that everyone fears, I don't fear. Johi dar ko sab log darat hai. We could also hear in there that fear that everyone fears. So sometimes we could say the fear of death, the fear of being kicked out, the fear of whatever. But then sometimes it's actually, what we're really afraid of is not someone criticizing us or kicking us out for being weird or doing it wrong or being the bad one. It's my reaction to someone doing that to me that is really what I'm afraid of. Because when it actually happens that someone might say to our face something negative or you don't belong here, like it's, if it depends on how it lands in us, depends on how we take it. It's not that we want someone to do that to you, but when it has happened, sometimes it landed and you believed them and put yourself out, and sometimes you didn't move. And it partly depends on our ideas about that person, if we think that they're already out or whatever, they're crazy or they're whatever. And sometimes it just so happens that it doesn't land in the personal, it doesn't push our buttons. So that fear that everyone fears, so that fear of our own fear. So we're running around to trying to avoid our own reaction to what other people might say to us, kind of. Does that make sense? Yeah. Jo hi dar ko sab log darat hai, so dar hamare nahi. That fear is not mine, or not ours. It's not for that place when we're with the openness, vastness, simplicity, freshness. Kahe Kabir suno ho sato. Kabir says, and also he says, listen, saints, she's translated as seekers. This means when he's speaking to saints, it's like he's giving a high teaching. He's speaking to that part in us that's more subtle. So he's saying, let that part in us listen. Let the saint in you listen. So this line he's really emphasizing. This is coming. This is what's given to me to say. And let the highest part in you listen. So he doesn't always say in... it's the form of the poem that it should include the line Kabir says whatever, but he doesn't often say Kabir says and then emphasize doubly, and saints or seekers listen. So he's like doubly emphasizing, this is coming, this is given to me to say, and you have the capacity for your saint inside, your subtle part, to listen. So turn that on, open that. Don't let the ignoring happen. Kahe Kabir suno ho santon. Kabir says, seekers, listen. Wherever you are, jahan pad tahan samahi. Wherever you are is the entry point. The line in Hindi is really, really, like, makes my heart feel really radiant. Jahan pad tahan samaho. It's very contracted. Where pad, which is, it could be where your feet are, wherever your feet are, but it's like where feet, there entry. It's that is really. wherever your feet are, wherever you stand, tahan samahi. And it feels like it gives the quality of where your feet are could be entry. It could be a place that you could be, wherever you stand, no matter what the situation, wherever your feet are, you could relax and be still. There could be wonder. Clarity, I'll start it with the hard one first. Clarity, and we'll call it courage this time instead of presence, and compassion for ourselves, and a different perspective that happens when we're not, when the habitual movement of turning away doesn't happen. So there's stillness that allows a different view. Wherever your feet, where feet, there, that wonder is possible. And where that wonder, where wonder, there, stillness, clarity, compassion for all of life, courage, the presence of night and day beings. And then the second poem by him, which is actually what I thought it was all one poem, and I just see it's two. It's also very nicely, like, telegraphic, very short lines. Pani te ati patala, dhuan te ati jhani. No, sorry, jhin. Bhavan hu te atavala dost kabira kin. If you can imagine this guy who was, who continued living a normal-ish life as a weaver with his family, and he would just suddenly sing. When you hear the rhyming and the rhythm of the Hindi, it could give a little bit of the atmosphere of how it may have been. He also gave teaching time. Like, it could have been that people were coming and sitting with him for teachings and he sang the song. Or it could have been he was weaving, and as he wove, the song came. Panite ati patala duhase ati jin pavanu se atavala dost kabirakin. Just to hear the rhyme, the poem, the poetry, the song of it. Panite, so water, pani. Panite ati patala. It is, first we could make the sentence, it's not saying what he's talking about. It's just saying, than water thin, than water more fluid, more thin, really. But thin, like a thin soup or a thin part is more fluid. But then it's the word ati. Than water thin, so thinner than water, but it would be like another dimension of thin than water, not just relatively thinner than water, like we could put more water in the porridge and it'll be more something to drink. It's like thinner than water, but making a kind of quantum leap to another dimension of fluidity. Okay, does that make sense? Ati patala, like patala. More than that, but if you've seen Mercury, the element of Mercury, how it so jumps around and it's so responsive to touch and it's so responsive to temperature, and so not just like thinner porridge, but if we take the quality of thinness or fluidity and multiply it somehow, just like if we add a dimension, there's two dimensions and then there's three dimensions. And then there's four dimension, and then I've never learned about how to go from, if fourth dimension is time, I don't know what is fifth dimension, but we can imagine. It's like adding another dimension through the doorway of thinness, fluidity. So a quantum leap thinner than water. Dhuate ati jin. Then from smoke, than smoke, subtler, harder to catch, harder to find. But again, not just subtler than smoke, but as if within the what we could find and know experientially of subtlety, like smoke, that dimension multiplied, another step, exponentially subtler. Than smoke. Pavanhu te atavala. Pavanhu is, so from than wind, faster. But again, like, not just from 0 to 60 faster, but if we think of speed, along the lines of speed, somehow making a jump, as if speed becomes this other dimension, or if we could exponentially multiply speed. So that it's not any more relative. It's not like 1 kilometer an hour or 60 kilometers an hour. We lose kilometers and hours, but we're talking about something, about swiftness. Okay? Does that make any sense? So let's think about speed, for example. If we think of being faster, then we get in a hurry. And this would be leaving behind hurry, and the burden of hurry, the heaviness of hurry, so that speed is liberated and might travel in all directions at the same time or something like that. Dost Kabira Kin. That is Kabir's friend. So he never says what he's talking about. He's just saying exponentially thinner than water, exponentially subtler than smoke, exponentially swifter than wind. Kabir's friend is that. That is Kabir's friend. And what I wanted to bring with this poem is that possibility of friendship with that, with something that is beyond our imagination swift, beyond our imagination subtle, beyond our imagination fluid. if we take that as our friend, and if we take the fear of our fear, the fear of our own reaction, as not our friend, not our enemy also, but not our friend, like not to rely on that advice. Any questions? So a friend that actually can't be found, but there can be embrace. There can be this embrace from the inside through every cell and through our world. Anything to say or ask? So I'm skipping again to another random piece of Seng San's Verses of Faith Mind. And we'll see if we fill in from where we left off yesterday on the third line too. The arising of other, the arising of other gives rise to the self. Is that true? And what does that tell us if we remember how that sometimes works? The arising of other gives rise to self. Any example?
It reminds me, can I say something?
Yes, please.
Last year I was in Japan for a month, and because I didn't speak the language, I was disappearing in my story.
Can you speak loud, please?
Yes. Last year I was in Japan for a month, and because I don't read or speak the language, there was no language in my life there, and so the language also disappeared out of my head in a way, and I didn't really understand anything there. The way people, there are a lot of Japanese, and still there's a lot of space everywhere between the people. In a crowded subway, there's still, everyone has his own space. And I noticed that particularly when I went back, I flew versus Moscow, and suddenly there were big people and with their mobiles and doing this. And I could understand words, and immediately something changed in me too. I was standing here, and I haven't had this feeling for a whole month in Japan. It was so much more crowded in a lot of ways.
So
the others existed, and so therefore me or I existed, because I was standing there, and don't push me. I don't want to feel this way, but if I don't feel this way, I'm going to be walked over.
Right.
I have to be me because there are others.
Yeah.
So it reminds me of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I like this dove snake puzzle. So if it's hard when I don't know it's coming, but now that you went through that in such a clear, with such clear contrast, there's even more the possibility of seeing it coming. There are going to be people who push you out of the way, whether they see you and push you out of the way or not, or whether they're just so in their own, they don't even notice their elbows going, whichever way in any other version. But if we know it's coming, that's really helpful, like the going among wolves thing, like knowing I'm going among wolves, it's going to happen. So then, knowing I don't want to do that, because even if it's not for the others, I don't want to do that. That's not where I want to live, inside me, so to speak. So more playfully being ready to be moved, that you're not walked on, that you wouldn't take it as walking on when it happens, and that you wouldn't always be walked on. And so that's the snaky way of maybe your intuition tells you, even though the line's over there, you stand over here, and you're trusting, not the fear, but the subtle friend. And then it so happens that you get called through, or the line is there, or something, sometimes. Just even in that line in the airport, getting on the plane, or whatever situation. even when we're talking about really literal space and other and my space, territory or whatever. The arising of other gives rise to self. Giving rise to self generates others. Know these seeming two as facets of the one fundamental reality. So even though in another place he says that you'll, in the experience, it's not oneness, but we can also talk about it as oneness, as what's real, as a kind of basis for everything, like the wonder that then allowed clarity, stillness, presence, courage, compassion. In this emptiness, these two are really one, and each contains all phenomena.
Can you repeat that last?
Yeah. I went a little fast to get to that line, because that's the line that's, I think, really good food for meditation and reflection. So, first of all, he says, know these seeming two, self and other, as facets of the one fundamental reality. So facets, to me, also means that there's probably not just two facets, but these are two facets of something that's not separable, and that is fundamental and that is real. And then another name for that one fundamental reality is emptiness, which means it's not a thing, that's a one thing also. So let's be careful. The one fundamental reality sounds very solid, but it's also called emptiness. It doesn't exist. It's the friend that's so fluid, so subtle, and so fast. Without hurry. In this emptiness, these two, self and other, are really one. And each contains all phenomena. Self contains all phenomena, other contains all phenomena. So again, where feet, there entry. If my focus and or my preoccupation or my what I'm being carried away by is self, still there's a way that I could stand there, right there, even in preoccupation with self, with this side, where feet, there entry, standing at ease anyway, despite dis-ease, despite elbows, of their elbows and my, if it's my elbows that I'm aware of or their elbows that I'm aware of, still standing at ease. Because sometimes elbows are, it's needed to describe a space. The elbows can come out without it being a reaction. So some animals have a shell, and that it's not like, come on, turtle, aren't you over your shell yet? You know, like, they have a shell. And that allows something else to be inside, soft, that can come out when it wants to. So it's also not that, like, elbows aren't allowed, but elbows could come out and keep a space without it being reactive, without it being self-other. But that's, I think it really helps when we're expecting the elbows that are about self and other, mine and yours. We're expecting the elbows, so then we're playful with it when it happens. And where feet, their entry. If my preoccupation is with other, like, man, they're pushing me out of the way, and or whatever they're doing. Where are feet, their entry. I might notice that my shape is almost like I'm standing on tiptoes and messing around in other people's business. Emotionally, psychologically, or with my energy or whatever. I'm preoccupied with them, with you, or whatever. What you think of me, I want you to like me, I want you to leave me alone, I'm kind of demanding a certain, it's a manipulation of others so that I can make, so I can manipulate myself to relax. So I can manipulate myself to feel I belong. But it's then a requirement that you have to tell me I'm okay so that then I feel permission inside to be okay, which is not a comfortable place for anyone. And just the richness of contemplation on this possibility that self contains all phenomena, other contains all phenomena. Partly because they're not two different things. One is an entry to the other in a way, and the other is an entry to the self, let's say. Because they're not two things. Where entry, where... Where feet, their entry.
Where entry, their feet.
Yeah, that's also. Also, this can be really helpful. I'm glad that it came out like that. Thank you. When I notice that I'm kind of in my human place and my feet are on that one fundamental reality or whatever, where I don't have territory, but there's a kind of ground that is subtler than, and swifter than, and more fluid than. That's my friend. My feet are there. It can help. This is just a really simple, practical suggestion to notice when that happens, when I feel my feet on the fundamental ground of subtler, swifter, more fluid. Than anything known. When my feet are there, where else am I? So in our process, it usually happens like this, that when I'm, let's say, my feet are in the ground of emptiness. At a certain time in my life, it might be that then my heart feels open and soft and back or wide, or it might feel that my energy is really down in my lower back or something noticeable in the body or the energy or something, the breath also. And so we can take it where entry, their feet. I can notice, this is entry, here are my feet. Where is my spine? Where is my heart? How's my belly? How's my breath? And then we could do that as a gesture on purpose, as a practice. We could do that falling down to the belly, letting the spine be more snaky or whatever, letting the face open back, or we can do on purpose what happened spontaneously. And then the last line of this little paragraph, I'll read the paragraph through. The arising of other gives rise to self. Giving rise to self generates others. So playing with how that's a movement of mind, self, other. Know these seeming to as facets of the one fundamental reality. So, and less befriending that split mind and more befriending something else that's more subtle, more swift, more thin, more fluid. And letting that seeming groundlessness be ground, be known as what is real. Seeming facets of the one fundamental reality. In this emptiness, these two are really one, and each contains all phenomena. if not comparing nor attached to, in quotation marks, refined, and in quotation marks, vulgar, or gross, you could say, you will not fall into judgment and opinion. So not befriending, comparing. When it happens, forgiveness, because the mind is trained to do that. It will happen. But not befriending, comparing. Not making enemy also, but not befriending, not trusting. If not comparing, nor attached to refined and vulgar, you will not fall into judgment and opinion. So this is kind of obvious, but let's just speak it out as well in a couple of ways. So Angela's example of flying through Russia on the way home from Japan and all the elbows. And there could be the feeling of, this is vulgar, this is gross, this is so tangible and rocky and hard and not refined. But if we're already expecting the impact that could be there, and we still stick with the swifter, more fluid, then it's like the Aikido from Japan, where we're expecting the impact and we don't buy into the aggression, and so we're unharmed by it, and it's harmed by itself so that it could learn, or it's allowed to feel its own force, so it falls over instead of hitting me, because I just happen to step to the over without trying to trick you and watch you fall and laugh at you, but I just happen to step to the side into this line that's going to form in 5 minutes over here. And you're fighting for your place in that line, and I'm just happen to be out of the way, and there's nothing to catch. Because my friend is the subtler, swifter, thinner, fluid. But if we feel how we feel that refined or gross or more spiritual, less spiritual, more heavy, we're already in the battle. We're going to be hurt, kind of. Anything to say? So let's have a few moments silent together.